Continuing on, we are in chapter 15 now, verse 1. Remember, these chapters were not in the original. They were put later, and that's why they often come right in the middle of a context. They have no bearing. So we can honestly say that chapters and verses are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't know who they were inspired by. The old tradition was that when they started repeating and writing scriptures over and over again, the monks would copy them, that sometime they were on a donkey, and every time it stepped in a hole and jerked the monk, he would just put a chapter there. That was one of the things they used to say, because if you study many of the epistles, Old and New Testament, you'll find that chapters and verses come at the most unopportune time. They do not even fit in. So again, these were written as letters. These were written as discourses by the prophets and by the apostles and so forth. So verse 1, some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. There's one interesting fact we need to remember here. They came down from Judea, did not say they came down from Jerusalem. What it was saying was they had no apostolic authority. They did not have the overall authority of the church in Jerusalem to do what they were doing. They did it on their own initiative. They were on the outskirts of Judea, and even some that came from Judea, I find it interesting that they did not bother to go and bring this matter first before some of the apostles, before they even proceeded to do this. So that alone shows something was wrong here. They just decided on their own initiative, we're going to bring the Gentiles under our control. Gentile Christians are going to live like Jews, and they're going to do what they're told, like a good proselyte would. But the mistake they made the emphasis circumcision. That was the main foundation of Judaism. That was the way you entered the covenant, and everything else was meaningless until you entered the covenant by circumcision. And they were saying to the Christian Gentiles that were being saved, unless you are circumcised like a Jew, and then later they added too, and keep the customs of Moses, you really can't be saved. So what they were saying was, even though you claim Jesus, and many of the Judaizers claim Jesus, they still believed you had to mix the old covenant. And again, they came to this on their own decision. Again, we can understand, because we saw how hard it was for the apostles of Christ to even accept things, and even up until the death of Jesus. Remember, he said, I had many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. And one of them was that Gentiles, when they came to the Lord, they would have equal standing with Jews. And this was unheard of. The Jews for centuries were taught they were special, they were select. And if any Gentile wanted to be near an equal standing, they had to be converted to Judaism. They had to become a Jew. Again, we said this is what was happening in the early church. For several years, they still went to the temple. They still went to the synagogue. But we found out that the apostolic witness, even though they kept the law and they considered themselves Jews too, they did not see their salvation linked to circumcision or the keeping of the old covenant's rituals and customs. We're not talking about morals now. Murder, stealing, lying, these will send you to hell in any covenant. No covenant ever sanctioned these things. Now we're talking about what they considered. So they believed that we will add Jesus and he's the fulfillment, but we still have to keep the law of Moses. And unless you're circumcised, you can't be a real true Christian. And they came up to this on their own because, see, they were still trying to emphasize that the Jews were special. And they did not understand at this time it was not true that God was abolishing that system when he brought in the new. So again, they came from Judea. In general, when you see the word they came down, was often used in reference also to Jerusalem. People always went up to Jerusalem, basically, when they got into the city. That was the expression they used. But when they left Jerusalem and Judea to other areas, they came down. See, they always thought Jerusalem, it was a part of their thinking, was the center of the world. The Holy Mount, the temple area, everything proceeded. So no matter where you were in the Roman Empire, if you left Jerusalem and Judea as a Jew, you came down from Jerusalem. And if you returned to Jerusalem, you went up. when all the proselytes came throughout Ethiopia, Syria, there were Jewish proselytes living as far as Spain, and once or twice a year, some of them in their travels would come to Jerusalem to keep the feast and so forth. Remember, we found that at Pentecost, 18 different nations represented there that were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But their terminology would have been, every Jew's terminology would have been, we go up to Jerusalem. Or if they left it, we've come down. North, east, south, and west really didn't mean nothing, nor high or low as far as elevation. Again, we have the same example. Egypt, Upper Egypt, was in the south. It was not on the Mediterranean Sea. It was not the north. It was actually in the south, but it was Upper Egypt because that's where the streams formed the Nile, and the rivers and streams all converged into the Nile, which watered the whole land and made it land for great wheat. Great wheat was sold there. Much of the Egyptian wheat kept the Roman Empire alive during their wars, during their famine. Much of it came from Egypt, because when the Nile flooded every year or so, it flooded hundreds of square miles, and the land was fertile when it receded to plant the wheat and the crops and so forth. So again, they came down from Judea. Again, leading group would say Judea. It did not say here whether some came from Jerusalem. The reference here, I believe, from Luke is that they did not come down from the Jerusalem church. When they referred to the Jerusalem church, it was always the apostles and elders that they were referring to as being the foundation of where Christianity proceeded from. So in this group that came down, many of these Judaizers, and some of them were not all wrong or corrupt. Some were well-meaning, but some were not. But many were converted Pharisees. So you can see why they were so steeped in this system, the same as the apostles were to a degree. Remember, they kept asking Jesus, when are you going to restore Israel? They were asking him at a time when God was preparing to destroy Israel. He had no intentions of restoring it. But Jesus wouldn't tell them this. It was not for them to know the times nor seasons. But after Pentecost, and when the Spirit came on them, they were given the information that they could not bear before the Spirit came to them. It would have been too much for them. Gentiles being equal to us, Jerusalem and the temple being destroyed, and all of this coming from God's hand, they couldn't have bore this. They were not prepared for this. They were having a hard enough time understanding who Jesus was. And it wasn't up until the very end of his ministry that even some of his disciples were comprehending that this is the Son of God, the Word of God. This is not just the Messiah. This is not just the prophet deliverer. They just fully understand who he really was. And they would ask these questions. And even up till a week before he died, remember Philip said, it'll be enough if you show us the Father. See, they were still looking at him as a Messiah prophet. They were not looking at him as God in the flesh, as the very Word of God. God condescending, taking on the human nature, being fully human and being God, yet restrained in his power. See, they couldn't comprehend that. And so near the end, Jesus finally tells them, he have seen me, have seen the Father. How long have I been with you, and you have not known me? And so this is what we find. So these were Judaizers. Some of these were priests. Some of these were Jews converted to Jesus among the common people. And because much of their beliefs and traditions, they did not understand much of the prophetic writings. They were not made to be basically mandatory. Many of the Pharisees did not accept various prophets of the Old Testament as being a final authority. They basically held on to words of Moses and to the Psalms. This was much of what they held to. They believed that Gentile Christians must become proselytes and then join Jerusalem to be a part of true Christianity. So this was where their error had laid. Circumcision, again, being the main ritual that Jesus recognized as one entering in the covenant of God. So these Judaizers would believe a Christian Gentile would have to be circumcised as well as having been water baptized to be a true Christian according to what these Jews believed. They would also feel that other Jewish rituals should be held as most of the Christian Jews did while they were in Jerusalem and Judea. Remember later on when Paul comes to visit several years later, the Apostle James sort of brags to him and says, we have many Jews that have come to the Lord and they are zealous of the law. But James and the apostles did not see this as a means to save them. They simply became a Jew. They were Jews. They understood the symbolism of the ritual and they could accept this and do this. But they did not see it as a bondage or something that they had to do to get saved or stay saved in the new covenant. Later, the epistles to the Galatians deals much with these problems and these views that come up. Yet the apostles in Judea would keep much of the Jewish customs out of a witness to the Jews, and because they understood the new covenant's fulfillments, they had something from the old, they could see its fulfillments, they could see the symbolism and how Christ was in the old rituals and the customs and the sacrifices and all of the many ordinances that were set up by Moses and the prophets. They all spoke and led to Christ fulfilling all of the symbols and the rituals of this old covenant. But they never ever thought that Gentile Christians should have to do so. Or it appears up until this time, the question really did not come into play. Yet they and the ruling elders were now being forced to speak or make a ruling on what God's mind was in this matter, because there were several disputes now, several decisions, and there were various and different opinions as to these things. Remember, for a few years had gone by with as many or more Gentile Christians from the Roman Empire, they were coming in to the church and they were beginning to outnumber the Jewish Christians during that generation. So we shall see that though many of these Judaizers were sincere, there were some who were not and who were deceitful, and they usually came out of the Pharisaical system and they'd never fully let go of Judaism. That's why some challenged later, and Paul challenged them. And with some of them, he implied they were false. He considered them spies. And in some cases, he questioned and did not believe they were true Christians, that the devil had sent them in to cause problems and disrupt the freedom and the liberty that the new covenant brought to Christians. They still were used to control, and they still wanted to control these things. So it's interesting that these men came down from Judea, and it appears that they must have bypassed the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. It makes no more sense why they did not go there first and deal with these things before they even attempted. So it appears they may have assumed, and assumed rightly, that the apostles and the elders would not have condoned what they wanted to do. So we can only speculate on these things. So again, this group had heard these particular, we call it a sect of the Judaizers, if you will, or these strong ones who supported Judaism. They heard that many Gentiles were coming to the Lord Jesus, and they thought it was time to instruct them properly, to bring them under control. It appears the early disciples had much liberty in evangelism and such, and only on matters that affected the whole of the Christian movement was the apostles and elders called in. They may have not been even informed as to the group of this Judaizers that were going to Antioch. It is most certainly, we can assume, the apostles and elders of the Jerusalem church did not know about this matter, or it was kept quieter for the reasons that we can understand now. Okay, let's continue now. We're in verse 2 of chapter 15. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, The brothers determined, it meant the churches there, the elders and so forth, that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Notice how, again, in verse 1 it said that they came down from Judea. Now they are in Antioch, and they're going to go up to Jerusalem. So again, it was the terminology that was expressed that was different for them. So Paul and Barnabas confronted the leaders of the Judaizers, their movement, when they came to tell them these things, and they had a great debate and discussion about this. And there, obviously, there was dissension and there was disagreements. So the Antioch church, it meant the elders and leaders, this was included Paul and Barnabas, and the Judaizers being there with their supporting people, they decided that this was an issue that they needed to go to Jerusalem and discuss with the apostles and elders there. Again, because it was recognized that they were the foundation, they were the beginning of where Christianity began. They were the original, what was left. There were the 11 there, and the one that was made 12 with them. But these were the foundation. They were the final authority because they did not have scripture at this time. They were not formulating much scripture. Remember, it was James the apostle, half-brother of Jesus, and Paul, who a little later at this period of time began to write their first epistles. Galatians and the book of James were the first. But at this time, there was no scriptures written, New Testament scriptures. And so when there were major problems or certain things, the apostles and elders ruled on these things. They talked and discussed these things. So again, they could not come to a decision or an agreement. The Judaizers had made up their mind what they wanted, and Paul and Barnabas were going to really have no part of this. So they decided the only way to handle this is let the apostles and elders from Jerusalem to speak, discuss this matter, and give an official point on this issue. And so this is what was happening at this time. Well, see, some of the Christian Jews in even Antioch, remember, when they heard this discussion, they may have agreed with the Judaizers and the Pharisees. Remember, there was a synagogue in the area, and they had converts from the Jewish, and they may have thought themselves that, yeah, this is true. We need to hold Judaism. And so it wasn't just this one little group. It was good, probably, that the issue came out at this time. And so that's why the Church of Antioch, the official elders and so forth, they sent parties from both sides. Those Judaizers would go back, and they had their supporters, and they may have gathered a few supporters from the Christian Jews in the area. And then Paul and Barnabas would go down, and there would be those who would support their view. And so they decided to go down and present themselves and have the apostles and elders in Jerusalem to listen to this and come to a final decision on this matter. Later, if you study the Epistle of Galatians, you get the point that Paul believed and that the leaders of the Judaizers, he came to the point, several of them, or many of them, were false, and he didn't consider them Christians. And the terminology he uses is very strong. So again, you can tell that Paul already knew. Paul had come to a decision, but we don't know how far Barnabas went along with this. Remember, we have in the scripture where Peter and Barnabas were carried away by some of the Jewish customs among the Gentiles, and he was reproved. Peter was reproved by Paul because of this. So again, this was the situation that was going on. Verse 3, therefore being sent on their way by the church, again, they're speaking of the official leadership and elders of the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all of the brethren. So officially they were sent from Antioch to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas and his party, they went through several areas on the way, and they were speaking to the Christians, and most likely to Christian Jews too were included here, about the Gentile conversions and what God was doing. They did not let it stop their opinion, nor what they saw, what was being done. So whether it was Jewish or Gentile disciples in the area, It says they found great joy in the growth of the faith. Even the Jewish Christians in these areas were excited and joyful about the Gentiles coming to the Lord. Well, see, even the Judaizers weren't going to dispute this. Their dispute was who was going to control them and how were they going to obey us. That was the issue that they were after. So again, we find, you have to understand, in Antioch, remember there were Christian Jews there that Paul had to go back when he was fleeing Jerusalem. There were elders and leaders that were Christians before Paul was. And yet, when Barnabas came down later, he was sent and came forth from Jerusalem to exhort and encourage and confirm what God was doing among the Gentiles. And it was probably through his influence that the Jerusalem church officials understood some things that were going on. So again, we have a representative that actually was of the foundation elders and apostles of Jerusalem. And then you have Paul, who is entering into his apostolic ministry among the Gentiles. But you already had the Christian church there. And again, so Paul never claimed, nor did Barnabas, to be the leader, the overseer of that church. He claimed later on apostolic authority to various churches. But he did not claim this over Antioch. They were there before Paul had even become a Christian. They had their own leaders and elders. But they would have recognized and seen his apostolic ministry, and they would have heeded any of his warnings or admonitions. They saw that the power of God through him had converted many and was adding to the churches, the fellowships, and even in Antioch itself. So it was those that told Paul and Barnabas and the Judaizers, y'all need to go to Jerusalem and let the church at Jerusalem debate this and bring out an official opinion, because they themselves saw that what problems would arise if they did not. They could have one little church in one area saying the Gentiles have to submit. They could have another one saying we're not going to. And all of a sudden you would start having divisions and they would be separating and not having anything to do with each other. You would have different brands of Christianity. And this was not God's plan. Many will hold that, well, that's what true Roman Catholicism, it was the one church. No, it was a corrupt, you cannot even call it a church. They mixed everything with paganism, and then they told everybody else who did not agree with them that God wants us to be one. In other words, you're to give up the truth of the gospel and agree with us, and that's the church that God wants. That was a demonic influence, had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The oneness and unity of the Holy Spirit was not in basic organization or outward. It was inward. It was based on sound doctrine. It was not based on a particular group having more numbers and having power. That was never the issue. So again, this was the first major issue that could have brought great dissension and troubles to the church that was in its main heyday of evangelism and bringing Gentiles into the body of Christ. Remember, we're only a few decades away from the total destruction of the Jerusalem system. They weren't going to even be there. And so there needed to be an established foundation that was not based on temple worship, was not based on the Pharisaical system, that was not based on custom and tradition. It was the people themselves that would be the temple of the living God. And wherever they went and gathered and worshiped, they were the temple of God. From that time on to destruction, no emphasis by anyone was placed on the holiness of Jerusalem or the temple, because it was destroyed. And that was God's intention to do this. That's why Peter and Paul could speak of true Christians as being the living stones and being the living temple of the Holy Spirit. They did not refer anymore to the old system. So this is what was happening. Verse 4. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. What we have to understand here is the apostle and elders. Again, James was considered an apostle. Even Barnabas earlier was considered an apostle. These were disciples. Some believe several of them were still of the 70 that began in Jesus' ministry when he was sending them out. Others would have been what we call local home church bishops or pastors. And they would have been throughout the area. And many of them had been in the Lord for many years, and they had their local fellowships that they dealt with. So they would be interested in what was going on. So that's when it uses the term here, and Luke does it properly. He says they came before the church, the apostles, and elders. Notice it did not say in this order the apostles, elders, and churches. See, again, there was a uniformity here. There was an agreement. There was no fighting with each other for power and authority and who would prove what and so forth. Again, they came to consensus. The only two and three apostles that seemed to give much vent publicly, it appears that we study Acts, was Peter and John, and then Jesus' half-brother, James, who even church history later, they considered him the overseer of Jerusalem. They considered him what we call the Bishop of Jerusalem. And yet his job was not only as an apostle, he was an administrator. He understood much that was going on. It appears that Peter spent a lot of his time still preaching and ministering, and a lot of this other stuff was taken over by the other apostles and elders, and they handled these things. And we're going to find later when James speaks that he confirms these things. But we're going to find among them the two chief speakers, who begins and who ends, and what decisions were made. So again, they were received officially. There was a gathering of church leaders, of the apostles, and the chief elders over the whole area. And so again, definitely would have included any of the 12. It would have included the apostle James. Possibly a few others had equal standing. And then there was most likely those of the 70 and the disciples who came to the Lord during Pentecost and times like that. And they had matured in the Lord. So it was not just a few people running the show. There was an overall consensus and unity among them. So they were officially received by the whole church, the gathering, the officials in Jerusalem. And they gave a report of all the missions, of the discipling, of the numbers that came in, of the many converts that came to the Lord, came to the Lord Jesus. And they would have been sure, as they were sharing this, that all of the signs and wonders and the confirmations were rehearsed, so that those there would understand that the Holy Spirit was behind this movement. See, this was the principle that Paul was initially going to use. And we'll find later that Peter is going to confirm this, what was going on. So verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, now it says believe. So some of these were not spies. Some of these were true Christian Jews. Again, they just came to a different opinion on their own, and they wanted their view put forth. And so that's what they were doing. And so they said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. This is what they came to. So they're speaking before the apostles and elders of Jerusalem and telling them this. You know, they're not sort of asking them. They're telling them this is what has to be done. They're speaking as if they are an authority on the subject, and they're going to find out that they were not, that they did not have the power that they thought that they had. So they had a right to state their view, and they stated it very well, that Gentile believers must be circumcised to truly be saved, even though they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they must keep the law of Moses and keep its rituals as we do. Now remember again, Peter and James and most of the Jewish believers in Jerusalem and Judea, they kept the law. They kept the ritual. They did not break it. They went, remember we read in the beginning of Acts, they witnessed in the temple. They went to the temple area daily. This was a Jewish temple. It was not a Christian temple. Because, see, they were so interlinked, they understood what they were to do. And they would have kept the rules of the synagogue. Paul did, whenever he went to various areas and entered the synagogue, he kept the rules and the traditions of the synagogue. And he respected them and waited for opportunity to share what he considered was the completion of Judaism. Okay, verse 6 now. So the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. Again now, it's the officials. They're dealing with mainly the apostles, the elders, and some of the main church powers throughout the area. They're not dealing with the ordinary Christian. These are officials. These are people who are recognized in apostolic, prophetic, and administrative ministries that understood these things and were sound in faith and Christianity. So it appears that other elders and apostles possibly were not present at this time, and so they had to call them in. And the whole church leadership, to a degree, wanted to hear and judge this matter. They wanted to understand what was going on, what the big problem was. This matter could and would affect much of the Christian foundation and its further missions and its discipling. So this is why they saw this is the issue. It appears the Antioch elders were smart and clever, and they foresaw this. And they decided, uh-oh, we have to deal with this before it creates great divisions and strifes, and we have separate forms of Christianity being promoted through the empire. They wanted this settled and the truth to come out on this. So this was most likely the last and the most likely main subject that this whole gathering of apostles and elders had come to deal with. We find no other main instance of any other major issue coming into problems at this time. But it seems like this was an important one. Actually, Christianity itself was based on this. Otherwise, we would have just had lip service Christianity subject to Pharisaical Mosaic law, and that would have not have worked well at all. So later, as Paul and James and John and Peter and others, when they laid out Christian doctrines and epistles and dealt with the problems in their epistles, they remembered that this was a time to lay the foundation properly, that no gospel epistle was to be issued that was in conflict. They could not have disagreement on major issues and different sides claiming stuff while they were trying to lay the foundations of true Christianity. Let's go ahead and stop here at verse 6. Our Lord, give us wisdom to apply your word from its practical application and see the wisdom how you deal through your people in spiritual matters, giving wisdom and understanding and spiritual discernment through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.